Network. Sorry, let's go to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline. Our good friend Harry Lyles Jr. covering the NFL for SB Nation. Harry, Matt Peralta, how are you?
Matt, what's going on, buddy?
All right, let's start with the Lamar Jackson conversation and what the future of the quarterback spot should be in Baltimore. Do you believe that this is a Wally Pitt situation, or do you think you could see some scenario in which Joe Flacco gets his job back?
I think there's always a scenario in which a guy like Joe Flacco gets his job back just because people obviously like to look at, you know, the X amount of dollars that a guy like himself has made. You know, he's got a Super Bowl underneath his belt. And when you've got a guy like Lamar Jackson who, you know, people for months tried to say that he was a wide receiver and was not a quarterback, you know, I'm not going to say it's amazing that he's playing because Joe Flacco is hurt. But, you know, everything that can go against Lamar Jackson will go against him. So I would probably bet that he's still going to see a little bit of a challenge as far as whenever Joe Flacco is healthy again. But I also would say that if, you know, these rumors about John Harbaugh's job being in jeopardy are true, you know, maybe he is willing to stick with Lamar only because the offense has looked better with him and he needs to save his own behind.
Yeah, that's what I thought when I heard the thoughts of Flacco coming back and getting his job back. I thought, well, if Harbaugh's on the hot seat and they're 2-0 right now, if they're, you know, 3-0 or 4-0 even before Flacco is healthy, how in the world would Harbaugh want to put Flacco back in there regardless of whether or not Flacco's won a championship for the dude or not? It's about self-preservation at that point, isn't it?
It is, but I also don't know because, like, I think also taking into account as well, like, we don't know, you know, I think, wasn't he rumored to, like, be in the run at USC before they announced that Clay Helton was going to return or something like that? I mean, like, depending on, like, what's out there, like, maybe John Harbaugh doesn't really, you know, care about whether or not, you know, let's say, like, ownership wants Flacco to stay in there over, like, Lamar. Is Harbaugh going to, like, do that? I'm not entirely sure. And honestly, like, as far as that offense has gone, like, that defense has been shaky at times. So, I mean, I just he's right now to me, like, he's kind of in a similar boat as Mike McCarthy. I just don't see him making it out, like, regardless of the outcome of his season.
Well, let's go to Green Bay then with Mike McCarthy. And whether do you believe that the ownership structure, which is the most unique in all of sports with the Green Bay Packers, plays a big factor here as to why Mike McCarthy is still the head coach of the Green Bay Packers?
It's tough to say. I mean, you know, I mean, can we kind of back this up a little bit? Like, is this not a very just odd situation, like, overall? I mean, I can specifically remember, like, years back, you know, when everything was fine in Green Bay and, you know, Aaron Rodgers is still, you know, a great quarterback, but, you know, a lot of people used to consider Mike McCarthy a good head coach, and now we're in this really weird space where, you know, McCarthy is clearly a bad guy, and we're all doing this revisionist history thing where he's always been bad, and that, you know, now Aaron Rodgers either needs to be freed or, you know, McCarthy needs to go, and obviously we know where that's going to go. But, like, that whole situation is just so – I mean, I'd like to know your thoughts, too, because it seems unique almost. Where, you know, people used to kind of look up to this guy, and now, like, he's very clearly, like, the problem, you know?
No, I agree with you. And I think if there was a Jerry Jones in Green Bay, I just think there would be someone you could point to and say, fire this guy, get rid of this guy, look what he's doing to Aaron Rodgers, you have an all-time great, and you're burning his prime by not building the right type of team around him and not giving him the weapons and not giving him a defense and all the other issues, offensive line, that Aaron Rodgers has dealt with over the last three seasons. But you're right that Mike McCarthy probably needs a change of scenery to remind everybody that he is a good coach, he's a good offensive guy, and that maybe in Cleveland, maybe that's the place for him. Maybe he'll wind up with the Browns and Baker Mayfield, and maybe in 2 years we're all saying, oh yeah, remember Mike McCarthy won a championship in Green Bay.
Could happen. But I would also say, kind of like on that Jerry Jones front, I feel like if, let's say, for instance, like, it, all, you know, just from a distance, obviously, it seems like Jason Garrett and Jerry Jones have a really good relationship, because I, for one, am kind of surprised that Jason Garrett made it this far. Because I would also argue that he hasn't done a very good job of surrounding Dak Prescott with, like, weapons. Like, you know, Ezekiel Elliott kind of fell into their lap. Right. You know, Dez Bryant kind of faded away. But other than that, like, I can't really name a good receiver that they've added to that team where it's like, okay, like, you know, they're really helping out Dak with somebody to throw to. Like, they never replaced Witten, who also aged and fizzed out. You know, Dez was one of those guys. And for years, they kind of, in a similar fashion to the Patriots, kind of just like fell into these guys like a, you know, maybe like a Marion Barber type or a Miles Austin, who, you know, Tony Romo made look good over the years. But like, there's only so many quarterbacks in the NFL that can do that. Obviously, your guy Tom Brady is one of them. Aaron Rodgers is another. Like, remember a few years ago, Devontae Adams was like the third or fourth option, and now he's the number one guy in Green Bay. And then I don't know who their third string receiver is right now, who's got two last names, but like, he'll probably be the next guy in a couple of years, right? And Devontae Adams will have moved on. So, I mean, you know, and going back to McCarthy, like, a change of scenery could certainly, like, help him. And he probably will get hired by some other team because of the toxic recycling of coaches that goes on in the NFL. But it's just – it's honestly just funny, man. And it's kind of just hard to read these things year to year because, I mean – you know, we talk about Sunday to Sunday, we don't know what's going to, you know, happen. But I think that also kind of just goes with this kind of coaching circle. You know, I think we feel like we have a good outlook of what next season could look like in that sphere. And in reality, we really kind of have no idea.
No, it's true. And speaking of toxic recycling, what is this report that Hugh Jackson might replace Marvin Lewis in Cincinnati? What on what planet is that a good idea?
So, that's, I mean, considering everything we've watched over the past, what, 2.5 years, that seems just incredibly absurd. But, you know, kind of going back to the revisionist history, while we all frown on Hugh Jackson right now, and appropriately so, I do think we should remember that before he left Cincinnati, that was considered a really good hire by the Browns, because he did have a lot of success when he was, you know, in Cincinnati as an assistant under Marvin Lewis. Do I think that's a good idea? No. Do I think that would happen on any of the other 31 teams other than the Bengals? No. Do I also ultimately think that will happen in Cincinnati? I think the answer to that is also no, because Marvin Lewis, much like the mascot of his football team, is a cat and has 9 lives, and I'm pretty sure he's actually on like his 15th. You know, so I think at the end of it, it's like all that sounds, you know, interesting and neat and stuff like that. But, you know, next season, if I had to put money on it, I'd still say Marvin Lewis is probably the head coach.
Interesting. All right, before I let you go, Harry, tell me about tonight. I've called the Texans the biggest fraud 7-win team ever. They keep on shoving that down my throat by winning games and extending this winning streak. Do you like the Texans tonight, or do you like the Titans tonight?
I like the Texans. I like the Texans to keep faking it until they make it, man. I'm kind of with you on this. It's honestly, like, funny the way that they've been going with this, just kind of, like, getting by every week and winning games against pretty bad teams. And I kind of want to see how far it can go at this point. To me, just, like, seeing something like that is funny. And it's honestly not unlike what we saw the Oakland Raiders do a couple of years ago, when they had, like, I think it was 8 games that were decided by 6 points or less, and I think they won 7 of those. So that's kind of, like, what's going on here, and it's just funny to me. Plus, I mean, I want to see Deshaun Watson succeed, so, you know, if they get, you know, to 8 wins tonight, and, you know, they're not the prettiest and stuff like that, but it makes them look good, by all means, I'm here for that.
Very cool. Awesome stuff. Harry, thank you for the time, my friend. Really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Matt.